I think we will start. Why don't I pray as we start? Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can be together this evening. I pray that this evening it would be really helpful. We really long to teach our children well. I pray that as a result of this seminar this evening, that you would be glorified, that we would feel better equipped to teach your word to the children in our church family. I really do pray that that our children would grow up having a solid, deep love and knowledge of you and a saving faith in the Lord Jesus. And I pray that this seminar would be helpful to equip us to teach the word better. In Jesus' name, amen. So our focus this evening is communicating the message. We haven't got time, unfortunately, to deal with behaviour or kind of lots of different activities, that kind of thing. We're going to focus on communicating the message in kind of all age slots and holiday clubs and Sunday club, that kind of thing. However, the next teaching the Bible to children will be based for parents, so teaching the Bible at home on the 10th of May, I think. So do put that in your diaries and think about that. Our first question, though, is why do we do kids ministry? Why do we teach the Bible to children, and why is that important? It might seem like an obvious question. Throw some ideas back quickly. Why do we teach children the Bible? There's no silly answers. We want them to believe it. Yes. The scriptures command us to. Can you think of one? Deuteronomy 6. Did we put that in our? No, that was that was the parents. Yeah, it's focus. Yeah, good. Why else do we teach our children the Bible? Yeah. So kind of get a grounding from a young age. It's really helpful if we are teaching what this world is like and what God is like first, so that we can prepare them for the world as they experience it. And that's we're hopefully going to encourage you to be able to do that better this evening. And we're going to kind of think about, kind of how we can kind of help children filter the messages that they're being taught by all sorts of different methods. We've got Proverbs 22:6 as well. So that says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. It's just the best thing ever to get to teach children the Bible, and we should long to do that better. So that's what we are here for. This evening, and to encourage you in that, and kind of we're going to kind of have a focus of Daniel 6 kind of throughout the evening. So we're going to think about Daniel 6 now and have that read.
Thanks, Elaine. Okay, that was long, but we wanted to read it because we're going to use Daniel 6 as an example as we go throughout the session. And it's good to think that, first of all, we're not being threatened by being thrown to lions, or our children aren't. But we do live in a hostile world. So the children we have at Avenue are growing up in a world that is hostile to Christianity, well, in the UK anyway. And it's just, if they've become a friend of God, they're now an enemy of the world. And so it's just good to think about, before we think about communicating a message, the gospel message to children, what messages are they already hearing from the world around them? So I've got another question for you. What messages are our children being taught by our culture and society? and what pressures do you think they're facing? So maybe we could break into groups of three just to think about this, because this will help us later when we're thinking of applying the messages of the kind of things that kind of getting into the minds of children and what they're facing at the moment. So maybe you could break into groups of three or four to discuss that, and then we'll feedback. Okay, so then can we just hear some of those answers? So what kind of messages are they hearing or pressures are they facing, do you think? Equality, did you say? Yep. So in some of these messages, there's good and bad, isn't there? So it's good that everyone's opinion is valid, but yeah, just that no absolute truth thing. Anything else? Mm-hmm, definitely. And things like emotions and all of other things that come into it are left out of it. Mm. What kind of pressures do you think they're under? Yeah, there's a big pressure to succeed and be the best at things. Definitely. Anything else? Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. So the pressure to fit in and be kind of, yeah, not stand out in any way, but to conform to what's around them is a huge pressure as well. And just the thought of if you believe in yourself, you can achieve anything. That kind of believe in yourself and be proud of everything is a big message as well. So we're going to think about that a bit later when we think of applying. Okay.
So we want to be thinking about what messages we want to be communicating. We need to teach the whole counsel of God, don't we? Rather than what is quite tempting to be a child-friendly thought, kind of like that we can kind of almost pick out rather than searching for what the main point of the passage actually is. We want them to know that our God is a great big God, and we don't want to hide bits of him away from our children. We want a real picture of what our God is like. And that main point of the passage doesn't change depending on who we're talking to, which is often, we can often kind of change what we think depending on whether we're talking to kind of small children or kind of right up to adults. So we want to be really thinking about and praying about what the main point is that we're trying to teach our children. There are verses that kind of, there was one in that, as Elaine's reading, we kind of go, what was that about? Like, as we were reading, it's like often, like in that verse is not in any of the children's Bibles. As you read it, it's just hide that away. So it might not be the main point, but like, don't skip over it when you're reading. We pray about what the main point is. Think about what the main point is. Pray and make sure that we go over it, write it down, kind of have it there in front of you. Make sure that you're teaching one main point, and that is kind of one of the key things that we can do to make ourselves not confuse ourselves as we're teaching. And we also need to think about why it matters. Think about how this one main point applies to children. We thought earlier about the pressures that the children are under and what kind of false gospels and wrong messages they're being taught. So how does that one key point from the passage, how does that apply to our children? So we're going to have an example from Daniel 6.
Daniel 6 about one main point. So, you know, when you look at a Bible passage or a Bible story, you're faced with many different directions that it could possibly go in, but just thinking of one main thing the children could take away, because they're not going to remember everything. They just need that one thing to take away. Looking at these examples here, which one do you think? So we have God protects his faithful people, God rescues us from our troubles, or it is God alone who can truly save. So just looking at them there, which one do you think would be best? It's not necessarily the exact one of what should be from that passage, but which one do you think would be best? And if there's one that you don't think should be best, why not? Okay, why wouldn't you go for the middle one? Yeah, exactly. That's not what the Bible teaches, is it? I mean, some of the disciples were beheaded or, you know, different things like that. The Bible doesn't teach that, so it's good not to make that our main point. Good. Yeah, definitely the first one will get very complicated. And also it's reliant on us being faithful, is how God acts as well. So yeah, the last one, it is God alone who can truly save, would be the teaching point that we could take from this. Does anybody have any extra, any other ones they could have thought of? We can trust God no matter, yeah, that's a good one. Did you all hear that? Yeah. Anything else? So in child-friendly language, how would that be? Ever? Okay. So if I was going to think of how we could apply that, thinking again how we can make it more relevant. So sometimes we can give a talk or we can tell a story and we're like, this is the main teaching point, and then go sit down and not think about, well, why is this relevant? Why does this matter? The kids might be thinking, that's a great story, but why does it matter to them? So one application could be, God is the only one who can truly save us through Jesus. So he is worth standing up for, even when it's difficult. We don't need to fear anything or anyone else, because God is more powerful, and he will always be with us, no matter what. So that could be one application you could take from this passage. So we want you to do that now. So we've got a few different passages. If you get into, how many groups did you just split into? Was it three or four? Three. If you divide into groups, I'll give each group a passage. And just read the passage. Think about, what do you think could be your main teaching point from this passage? And then also think about, break it down, how could that apply to the children. How could it apply to them? How can it be relevant? So, yeah, about a few minutes to do this, about 5 minutes. So if you break into groups, I'll give you your passages. Okay. That was a minute. Can we feed back in what each group have had? So this group had Luke 10, the good story of the Good Samaritan. Can you tell us what you decided your main teaching point was? Okay. Good. Yeah? Anybody want to add anything? No? Brilliant. Okay, the group over here that we're thinking about, Genesis 45, where Joseph makes himself known to his brothers and says, what's that line that he says? All this was, oh. Yeah. So living for God, even when things are difficult, I guess, through that. Yeah, that's really clear. Okay, the last group you had. Yeah, you're in next week. That was good. Yeah, great. Okay, so just remembering that that's the main kind of crux of what it's holding on, your main point and how you're going to apply it, and then the rest is about how to engage the children. So moving on to that.
So obviously we want to be teaching children in a relevant way that is going to be engaging. So discussion question, what other ways which can help us engage children? What tools and methods help us to be engaging when teaching children? What have we got at our fingertips that's going to help?
A smile.
If you're doing it in an engaging way, they will want to answer your question without having the sugary, nasty thing that you've got in your hand. And also, we have an issue with kind of nut allergies as well. we've got three severe nutologies, so we just don't have, we don't have that at all. They fiddle with the sweet, they look at the sweet, and they stop listening. Yeah. So what other things do we have in, that we can kind of substitute sweeties for? Stories. Stories in unison. Yes, stories. Yeah. We don't need, if we've got a good story that we can act out, we don't necessarily need another analogy to make it relevant to them if it's a story. Sometimes we can just kind of use a story. Yeah, eye contact, looking at them. It can be quite kind of hard when they're right underneath you. But if you look at them, then the adults are kind of more likely to listen than the children. So engage them and then hopefully the rest will. Yeah, anything else? What other tools have we got available that can help us be engaging? Yeah, props, kind of things that they can hold. Keep them active and doing something, whether that is with their voice in listen or kind of mind listening out for a particular word that's got to kind of have a reaction to it. Yeah, and kind of repetition, yeah. Repetition. Things that go on and on and on and on. They don't seem to mind that. Yeah, pictures, visual things that they can look at and kind of help them think about what you're saying. Yeah. Voice. What do you mean? Yeah, kind of, yeah, try think about your voice. Try not to be quite so monotone and nobody listens to a story if you are going to read it out like this. Yeah, good. Involvement. Yeah, so kind of think about how you can get everybody to do something that is kind of going to help reinforce your main teaching point. Yeah, good. So we've got repetition, props, pictures, keeping them active, telling them stories, questions, asking them questions, keeping them their mind active is good, and humour without mocking, kind of making them laugh without the, yeah, is good. Sometimes, though, in our enthusiasm to be engaging, there is a tendency to distract. How do you think we can be distracting whilst we're trying to be engaging? What can be the negatives of trying to do things like that? Yes, what did you learn to accelerate? Matthew fell over. He is silly. Yes, you are not the main point. Yeah, so kind of, if you work people up into a frenzy, then it is harder to get them back to think straight about the main point. What did you say, Martin? Sorry. Yes. Some of the other things that might be a distraction are, so when you are getting children to act, sometimes that pace can really drag. So kind of think about who you're involving and whether they can concentrate on what you're trying to teach them at the same time. So you do want to involve a range of different people rather than just picking the same person every time. But think about if you're going to get the children to act it out, how is that going to affect your pace? You need to pre-think that before it happens. And when people can't hear, people stop listening. So we've got roaming mic, we've always got a roaming mic at the front. If you're doing an all-age slot, use that. It's not so much of a problem in the Sunday school rooms because you're kind of in a small group already. But if you're doing an all-age slot and the adults can't hear at the back, yes, yeah, like what I'm doing now, so that. So kind of repeat what the other person said so that everybody can hear it. It helps kind of them value each other's kind of participation. And sometimes we can kind of stop at the teaching point without applying it as well. So we've already mentioned that. Good. I think that is everything. We're going to think about how we can be engaging with the example that we started earlier.
Sometimes we make the analogy more memorable than the point. So at the end of the talk, we want the children to go away with what was the main point, not, oh, it was about, if you, someone was to ask them, would they say it's about, I'm trying to think of something, it was about balloons or it was about animals or whatever. Are they going to take the really clever analogy home or are they going to take the point of what it is? So I guess you don't want most of the talk to be about the analogy. Use it as an example, but then moving on to what the message is of actually. Another thing was just the need to feel, well, I guess the need to cover everything and everybody. Like you're never going to cover everything in one talk, or every child doesn't have to have a go at something to make it fair, because you just don't have the time and that kind of thing can slow the pace. Okay, so using, does anyone want to add anything to any of that? Or have any questions about that? I think I would aim for the middle. What would other people do? But, I mean, you can range your questions sometimes. So you don't have to pitch every question at the same level. So you might have an easy question that you can pick someone who's 3 or 4, but then maybe have a harder question that maybe someone who's 11 or maybe an adult. Or so that's one way. Does anybody else have any suggestions over that? Okay, so looking at Daniel 6, again, just some ideas of what we could do for this as a talk. This is quite just a simple one, is if I was to do it, have, so I wouldn't necessarily read the chapter that we read out, but have like a simplified version of the chapter, which was mostly narration, so wouldn't rely too much on the kids saying very much. And probably throughout the script have put questions in that might reiterate what the main point was, which is, it is God alone who can truly save. Ask for volunteers from the children, for the officials, Daniel, kings, and the lions. And then the children can either mime it out or repeat lines. So you, sometimes you can do that. If you say the line, then the kids can say it after you. That way everybody can hear anyway. And then to involve everybody, everybody could roar when I say lion, and when the lions, when Daniel's in the lion's den, make it a really fierce roar. And then when he shuts the mouth, God, or the angel closes the mouth, for them to go silent at that point. Just getting more interaction from everybody. And maybe have some props there, also a good idea. So like crowns or lion masks or whatever you would want to make that more interactive. So just thinking about that as an example, how might you take your... You know what I'm going to ask now. How might you take your passage and do that in an engaging way? Just have a few minutes thinking about what kind of things you could do to make your main point engaging. Then we'll feedback and we're almost at the end. Okay, do people have any things they want to share? Let's go to your group first. So your main point was... Yeah. Visual ideas, good. And I like the bringing something in, because kids like to hold up and share things as well, don't they? Well, I would have thought you'd have to do it all in one, everyone. Hold up. Yeah. And that is a danger that can happen quite easily. I mean, when we have like an all-age slot, what is it? It's only, I'm not even sure the exact time of what it's meant to be, but it's, no, I was going to say, but I always aim for like 5 minutes, because it always goes longer than you think it's going to go, and 5 minutes is it's a really short time, but if you aim any longer than that, then generally the kids aren't going to hold that much attention for that long. Well, they might, but... But the service leader starts to go mad. So yeah, just thinking about how you can make things short and snappy. And also, we mentioned in this group just reviewing we talked about it because Joseph was a story that you'd need to review before, but it's always good if you've got a story to just have a quick one or two questions. What was going on last week? Just to get their mind in. It doesn't mean we have to retell the whole story because you haven't got time, but just a couple of quick questions to get them, okay, that's what we were doing, and then your 5 minutes on whatever it is, but making sure at the end there's something for them to take away. So just to end, I realise we haven't really talked a lot about other activities for Sunday Club and things like that. But I guess just when we're thinking of those things, it's good to, so if we're going to have like crafts and games and all the rest of it, just it's a good idea to think about it beforehand, just how we can kind of focus the fun in a way. So just thinking, does my craft or does my quiz reinforce what my main teaching point is? So just how, as you'd have like a main teaching point for an all-age slot, thinking about the same thing for Sunday Club. My main teaching point for Sunday Club, can I change my games a little bit? So thinking about God being a rescuer, we did the other day Stuck in the Mud, didn't we? And just thinking about a rescuing, God rescuing, and I think it was Nathan that said, oh, like God was rescuing just like in the, and it was just that little connection, those little things can help reinforce the main point, because we want the kids to run around and enjoy the different activities, but just thinking about how we can make them reinforce what our main point is. And also just thinking about how we really communicate the gospel, and that's not just in how we talk or give talks, is it's about being role models for the children in all that we do, in our interactions with the children, especially in Sunday Club. And again, just thinking that the best way to really communicate with them and teach them is to know and invest in the children. So I've been challenged a lot about that in my group recently, just thinking, how can I know the children that are in my group? Do I pray for them regularly? Do I know that the pressures that that particular child is under? And is there anything that I can kind of, in my teaching or in my conversations with them, can I bring that in? So maybe you'd have, I mean, you don't get many opportunities, certainly I don't in Sunday Club, to have those kind of one-on-one conversations, but say they were doing colouring or something that isn't so questioning, perhaps you can ask some questions on more of a one-to-one, how they're getting on with something. So just that challenge to really get to know the children and to invest in them, be a role model for them and to pray for them regularly, I think is a big challenge. Does anyone want to add anything to that that they've, I don't know, found helpful or would suggest? Or a question? Yeah, and I guess that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, I don't know if we said it at the beginning, but like, obviously parents are going to be the main ones teaching their children, but how can we assist and help with that? And part of it is that just working together in that kind of way. So yeah, it's a good idea. To Henry, just put some resources on your sheet. I'm not really going to talk about them, but there's just a few websites. Things. There's one that gives tips for Sunday school leaders. And craft ideas, Pinterest is always a good one. And Paula suggested that, I don't know how to say it, Sojourn Kids is a blog. Sojourn, I'm not sure. So yeah, if you wanted to look up any resources, they're there then. Matthew, do you want to pray for us as we close?